Hello, and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs. I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Bellini, and we are at ADA Psy Sessions in Chicago. And we've got another very exciting episode where we are interviewing our wonderful friend, Rachel Soon. So, Rachel, thank you so much for joining. And if you don't mind introducing yourself and giving a little bit of your background for our listeners and viewers.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. My name is Rachel Sood. I am from right outside of New Orleans, Louisiana. I am a nurse practitioner and CDCES. I own my own practice. It's called the Diabetes Collective, and this is where I see patients, all sorts of patients with diabetes, whether it's prediabetes, type 1, type 2, gestational diabetes, really anyone that has diabetes living with it or is at risk for diabetes. I see in my practice, and I also function in the role of a diabetes education specialist. So I do a lot of pump trainings and technology trainings and things for people with diabetes. So it's been really fun.
Awesome.
That's a little bit about me.
I love that. Can you tell us a little bit about more about your online presence?
Sure. So online presence. So when I opened my practice, I really just did like a website and like an Instagram and Facebook more as like a formality, just because I felt like, okay, this is the way people do marketing and businesses of any sort, right? And I built the website and I did an Instagram account and a Facebook account, but I started looking at what other businesses were doing to almost like market themselves. And I realized that diabetes didn't seem very fun. Like it just seemed very dry and boring. And I'm like, wait a minute, if I'm going to do this, like, let's have fun. So I realized that maybe doing things on social media was kind of an avenue for me to educate people and help people because, like, no one wants to see anything boring. And there's a lot for people to know. Diabetes is changing, right? So it's been really fun. I've gotten into a lot of, I guess, content creation randomly, and I'm always learning, learning new topics, learning from other people that do this. But it's kind of become part of my job, unplanned.
Right. I love it and I love your content. Can you share a couple of like the high, and I know I love the wedding dress Omnipraque
Yes. Well, since I was sitting, and all of a sudden there's Rachel in a wedding dress. In a wedding dress. Tell us about that episode. Sure. So I kind of just, I don't plan too much. I plan different things that I release on Instagram just related to the seasons or maybe just the news or what's going on in the diabetes space. So of course, a big deal was the Omnipod 5 has been running with the Dexcom G7 sensor, but it hasn't coordinated like with the app on the iPhone. And so people were having to carry around two devices. And when I thought they were coming together, I just thought they were coming together getting married. So it made me think of a wedding. And so I said, all right, kids, get in the car. My mom got in the car. I'm like, everyone jump in the car. We went to the grocery store, bought some roses. I threw on my wedding dress from the closet. It didn't fit. And then we just went around the corner and filmed some stuff about the Omnipod and the Dexcom getting married. And that way I could just announce it that way. And it just made a lot of sense. And it was fun, you know, and it's an exciting time. So I don't know. I just think about things, you know, as they come and as news comes out. And I think it's just a fun way for us to announce like new technology or new medications and stuff like that.
And I really think that it helps people with diabetes grasp the concepts, right? So this was a marriage concept of we've been waiting a long time for this. Thank you, Omnipod 5, for doing this for us. But also things like GLP-1. I've loved some of your content around GLP-1. I've loved some of your content around staging and screening for type 1 diabetes.
I try to make it fun, and I try to, I guess in the past, I used to do a lot of theater and dancing and singing. I actually turned down a singing scholarship for a nursing scholarship. And I'm so glad that I did because I mean, I don't sing anymore, but it's like I still get to do things on stage, if you will, Instagram or Facebook, social media, that's my stage all the time. Like I get to be on stage all the time still. So I'm glad that I still get to be a nurse and be on stage at the same time. Like there's a way for you to do what you love and still have fun.
Yeah, that's how I feel sometimes when I'm up like they're presenting, right? It does kind of feel like theater a little bit, like
Yeah.
Like did you used to do anything like that in your younger years?
And we've never talked about this. Yeah. What? I did enjoy a little bit of theater and acting. Yes. I can sing though. So
okay. I can sing. What about you? No acting, no singing.
When we started this podcast, I didn't even know we were going to be filming in this podcast.
That was like a secondary comment from Diana. She's like, oh, and you need a ring light. And I didn't know what that was. Yeah. And so I've learned a lot throughout this time with us. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for real quick, back to your content. Tell me about the two most popular segments that you've done, or two of the most popular, right? Like what?
Yeah.
What people? So patients go there to learn.
I know. I don't even know that they do, but now I know.
You know, when you look at your analytics, right? Tell me what people are really like interested in.
So it's funny. I try to keep everything obviously like, you know, PG, right? Because I know that people come, like I see patients 10 and up, you know, there's definitely a lot of young people. There's older people. So I try to make stuff that's like fun for everyone, right? I did do a post. Actually, I went to church in New Orleans, like this church meeting thing. And then I just went outside and filmed myself and talked about screening for type 1. And I kind of put it to this like fun rap song, and it went just nuts because it was talking about all I did was, hey, like type 1 doesn't look a certain way, and making sure everybody understands that it's changed. And that just because you look this way or that way doesn't mean that you have type 1 or type 2, and everybody needs to check yourself. And it just went nuts. And really, it was just like a short clip. And it was this trendy rap song that my cousin had playing at her wedding recently. And I filmed it after church, and it was just unplanned. And that was really popular. And I'm like, what? So it's usually the stuff that's just not planned.
Very natural. Right.
Yeah. So that was popular. Something recently I did was just in the car with my kids. I had left baseball practice. And usually when I'm like with everybody, like all the other moms and parents, somebody will always kind of come up to me and say, what do you do? Like, what do you do again? Do you like teach people about Ozempic? And I'm like, yeah, I do some other things. I practice diabetology. And they're like, well, what is that? And so I explain to them, and their brain's like, you know, you can like see the zebras like on my head. And they're just like, wait, what? So I just got in my car and I talked about it like, well, I'm leaving baseball practice right now, and I don't know that I'll be invited back, but at least everybody knows the difference between type 1 and type 2. And like that was just like popular, like for whatever reason. But I think it was more popular for people living with diabetes, whether it was if you have type 1 or type 2, because it was almost like, I understand you. And I want people to know like, hey, like as healthcare providers or any type of clinician, we need to be able to relate and kind of be on the same page and the same level with our patients, right?
Yeah.
You want them to be able to like understand that I'm with you, right?
Right.
So we're eating them together, right?
Yeah. So we're at ADA Psy Sessions. I'm very proud of you because you're wearing red. We're supposed to all wear red today, clearly. I did not.
We look like a pack of crayons. So yeah, you look like a box of crayons.
I love that. Yeah.
But I know you're putting together a lot of great content while we're here. So can you talk about some of that, some of the highlights of this meeting? And some of the content you're putting out based on what's happening here.
Yeah. So there's so many sessions. So it's hard to pick like the things that you want to go to and not go to. But I have like really liked some of the new medications, some of the new GLP-1s coming out and the combos. And maybe like that we're going to see a shift in like those therapies. There's some that are coming out once a month. There's some that are still once a week, that they are a combination of different hormones, not just GLP-1 anymore. Of course, like this morning was GLP-1 and amylin, which was really, really exciting. The room was, I felt like it was like 10 blocks long, the line to get in. Like everybody wanted to be there.
I couldn't get in.
No, I know. I finally hustled my way in because I wanted to talk to one of the people in the trial and I wanted to get their opinion. So there is a few other GLP-1 things coming out tomorrow morning. I'm going to one 8 o'clock in the morning. I have that on my schedule, so that'll be good. Definitely, I want to talk about some of the new technology coming out and like ketone monitoring. I feel is, you know, we've had that like already that information out, but there's definitely a lot more like data coming and being presented. So, you know, I just want to make sure that people know like the technology maybe that's available to them and then what's coming. I think that's important for people with diabetes to know like what's coming so they can plan and that they know. I think they deserve that. So.
And I think when we talk about people that have diabetes, we think about, okay, this is working, this is helping, but there's other still unanswered questions. And so to help them say, we recognize that it would be better if it was this. It would be better if the iPhone paired with Omnipod 5. It would be better if, and as we expect those things to come,
yes.
to give people hope, right? They have to do this every day. Every day they take it home with them, every meeting, every breakfast, and so that we can say, this is where we stand today and these are the benefits. But tomorrow, there is going to be more. And it's not baiting them with a cure, and it's not baiting them with, you know, it's going to be better and it's all going to be easy and you'll never think about diabetes again. This is much more of a, no, we're expecting stronger, different combinations of GIP, GLP, amylin, glucagon-based, you know, medications in the future. And it looks really good.
Isn't
promising anything, but it's giving them understanding that we are continuing to work in the background to develop these things to improve the lives of people that live with diabetes every day.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point because, you know, yes, we don't want, like, I never want people to think like I'm giving you all the solutions to every problem and here it is and goodbye, because there's something new all the time. This ADA conference feels a little different to me than past ones because, yeah, we've been doing a lot of research and seeing a lot with islet cells and different infusions. We have Tzield that's been approved for a couple years now. And now, like, there's more therapy in the pipeline and that's being presented. And I feel like it's all very emotional.
Yes.
And I have not felt that. I don't know if that's something that y'all have sensed different about this conference.
Yeah, the Vertex data is very exciting. Like the fact that people are, in a sense, getting cured of their diabetes. I think that it is emotional.
It is. It's different. It feels different. I'm glad that like I share that with you because I'm like, is it because now I'm getting older and I'm just appreciating things more, or because I own a business so I just take more ownership for this? But it's just a different time and we're in it and like we get to be a part of this and that's really cool.
Did I see you take a picture with a beta cell?
Oh, of course. I hugged him. Yeah.
Picture of a beta cell.
Yeah.
I may as well ring it. Bonding to the beta cell.
Yes. Yeah. That's hugged and loved. Yeah.
I think that's why Nan and I both love your content,
because it's just this, it's like, okay, you have diabetes and it's hard to have diabetes. But now let's do this. Let's do it every day. Let's engage in our care and improve the outcomes and try to make you smile every day through the diabetes, not pretending and not putting it in a box and ignoring it, but through it, right? So the idea, right, you're out there. I saw you making a poster for staging and screening of type 1. I saw you in the exhibit hall doing all kinds of different, you know, I want to know what my A1C is. You're wearing a Stelo today. All of the things saying we can do this. We as a team can do this together. Yeah. And that's why I love that nurse practitioner feel to your practice.
Yeah. I love being a nurse. You love being a nurse too, huh?
Yeah.
How long have you been a nurse practitioner, Natalie?
A long time.
You won't tell us.
I will tell you. A long time. Yes.
People will ask, and I know you have your DNP, I do not, but there's lots of people that will ask, oh, are you ever going to be a doctor? Like, meaning like a physician. And I'm like, no, I'm like, I love nursing. I don't know that I would ever want to do anything else. Like if I had millions of dollars or if I had an opportunity to do this or that, what would you be doing right now if you could pick anything? And this is exactly what I'd be doing.
Right.
Like,
right.
So that's how I know it's right.
Someone said to me one time, what if they cure diabetes? What would you do? I'm like, I'll find another job. Don't you worry, right? We can find something else to do.
Oh, yeah. And like wellness, there's so much that you can do.
Things and so much we can help with, right? And it's more than just diabetes though, right? It's weight, it's cholesterol, it's blood pressure.
Oh, it's metabolic health.
It's metabolic overall.
And all of us that treat diabetes should be treating all of those things, right? We should be making sure someone's on a statin with an LDL at the right dose if they can tolerate it. And that the blood pressure is at goal, and that we don't tolerate higher blood pressures without, you know, like we should be doing as much as we can
Together
as a team, whether you're working with other people, whether you're an independent practice, to make
to hit all the goals.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to tell you a story really quickly about a patient actually that came to me, a gentleman in his, I guess, like 50s. He had probably been to maybe 10 different doctors over the course, like kind of started going to the doctor about 10 years ago, like just overweight, about 100 pounds overweight. No one really offered him to screen for type 1 or to look at anything else like his blood sugars. They were checking his hemoglobin A1C. His hemoglobin A1C was 6.5%, and this was 10 years ago. So it was just like newly diagnosed type 2, and he was 100 pounds overweight. They gave him metformin, and over a few years, every time he would go to the doctor, they would get his A1C, and it would stay the same. His weight was the same, and he basically rotted for like years just taking metformin, and it wasn't helping him. And as he went along, no one offered or told him to check his blood sugar. He had never been like, hey, check your blood sugar. Nobody even asked him that. He started having higher blood pressure. He started having high cholesterol. One blood pressure pill was added, a second and a third, and then a cholesterol pill. He came to me 10 years later. His A1C is still 6.5%, 100 pounds overweight. And now he's on metformin, the three blood pressure pills, and the cholesterol pill. So now he's on five pills stuck. No one had offered him a GLP-1, and no one had checked his blood sugar. It's like I put him on Mounjaro, and I put him on a CGM, and he had never been to a nurse practitioner. So he was a little nervous because he's like, well, is this like a doctor? And I'm like, well, yes, but no. Like, we're going to have an office visit. And I explained to him like what type 2 was. He started like looking at his, you know, blood sugars on the Dexcom G7 on Clarity. He started logging all of his foods. He's like, wow, like, I can't believe in this many years, no one's ever showed me anything about blood sugar. And that like hit my soul because I'm like, you have type 2 diabetes. That's what it's about. Why did
nobody asked him?
No one asked him this in many years. Now, is that something that happens all of the time? No, but like the fact that I was able to do that and just something very simple, like he was so grateful and so thankful. And I'm like, sure, because like this is like all day, right? But it's just like people like that. It's very, it kind of keeps me going. Like, wow, like I helped one person and it was just something simple. So.
And in your practice, because it's your own business, you can spend a little bit more time with people as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. I spend 2 or 3 hours sometimes with people.
Wow.
It definitely is necessary, though. It's needed. A lot of these people, like I said, this gentleman, all the visits that he's had have been like 15 or 20 minutes. So no one has, I don't think, maybe they thought he was already checking his blood sugar. You know what I mean?
Right. But maybe they just thought since his A1C hadn't changed, he was doing well enough.
But he wasn't okay, right? Yeah. He was overweight and now he's like losing weight. He's logging his foods. He's figuring out, you know, certain foods that are like making his blood sugar high.
That post-meal spiking, when is that happening? How is it happening?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He's changing the fast food thing. Like, you know, in his workday, he's packing his lunch now and he's just like, why didn't anybody do this for me before? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, right. Like, but I did have the opportunity to spend a lot of time with him. Right. And a lot of people don't have.
Right.
Yep.
So I'm glad to have that opportunity to spend time with people. It's been amazing.
Wow. Awesome. So before we wrap up, what is your most exciting thing here at ADA?
My most exciting thing here at ADA. I wish I had like one like big thing.
Well, isn't it hanging out with us?
Right. Well, yeah, no, I love it. I feel that over the past like year and being like on social media, I have and totally unplanned, I've connected with other people that are like me. Mm-hmm. And I've connected with a lot of people that are living with diabetes that want to be involved in improving processes. And even though they're not clinicians, they're here doing media things. They're here with nonprofits. And so what's exciting for me, I think, is just spending time with everyone and getting to know everyone and like collaborating. And it just makes me feel better about what I'm doing to like support other people, like their causes and what they're doing. So I think that's just my exciting thing.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And that wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.